I meant to say earlier when we looked at the actual numbers of times that Jesus preached outdoors, I wanted to remind you of something Hartwig shared the other night about the Old Testament prophets. Where did they do most of their preaching? I'm sure they preached in the temple at times, but there were many times when they would have been in the open air. And Hartwig mentioned the visuals. They very often were their own visual. Got dressed in rags, dug a hole in their wall, packed their suitcase, went out through the wall, lay on one side for a year and a half or something, lay on the other side. They were their own visual aids. Preaching in the open air using visuals was absolutely what the Old Testament prophets did. And Jesus too preached more in the open air than he did inside. Okay. I want to have a little look at this. Look at the part that says looking from above. And then we'll look some do's and don'ts. On the left-hand side of the word looking is the wind. And you can see it's blowing from the top of the page toward the bottom. And then on the right-hand side, there's a little sun and the arrows pointing in the opposite direction. Now, this is ideal. It's not always possible. When you set the sketchboard up, which is that line at the top there, the thick line just underneath the word from, that's the sketchboard. You want the sun in the preacher's eyes, so the crowd is not looking at the sun, and if possible, the wind behind you. Have you not got one back there? Anybody else not got one? If possible, the wind behind your back, because that helps your voice to project. Now, I've got a little H written there. It's not always necessary if you tie the sketchboard down to something. If you don't, it should be held by somebody. Even if you think it's a beautiful day and there's no wind at all, even before you tie it down, what is it doing before someone ties it down? Potentially waiting to fall over and kill somebody. Well, those little plastic ones aren't likely to kill anybody. But many years ago on one of our beach missions in Australia, big, heavy wooden sketchboard missed a child sitting at the front by, you know, that much. Imagine if the side of the board had just down their face or something. It would have been terrible. Well, I'm a bit paranoid, and I think the devil's going to blow as hard as he can whenever we're not looking. So I've sort of got a hand on that ball whenever I'm standing somewhere near it. If there is an authority, there isn't really, but if there was kind of like a totem pole, do you know the American totem poles? If there's kind of something at the top and then there's something at the bottom, the lowest job in the open air team is holding the sketchboard. I love that job. And the reason I love it is because I want to teach others how to do it, and then I stand back and, yeah, this is easy. I had a great time in Ukraine. A number of times I've been there. And, you know, you train the locals. I can't speak the language, so it's no good me trying to counsel somebody afterwards, so I can hold the sketchboard, and now I feel useful. So the H is a holder of the sketchboard. The T is the translator. Now, I've put them in line with the board because there's a board right there. If the translator is standing in front of the board somewhere, you can't see it. Now, the P is the right-handed preacher, and you can notice that he's turning to face the board and he's got his paintbrush in his hand. A right-handed preacher stands here, and you spin on your inside leg and you paint and you spin back. Now, you might step a little bit further across occasionally, but you're going back to the side of the board. You're preaching from here, okay? Now, some preachers like to move around, and on our staff, we've got some who get a bit animated, and they will walk, but typically, this is where you're preaching from if you're right-handed, because you're going to paint, go back here. So you will normally stand there because you're left-handed. The translator will be on the opposite side of the board, okay? So the translator's going to stand right about where that door is there, and I'm standing here, and we're going for it. Face the crowd. Now, the black dots then are the team members. And I'm suggesting you stand fairly close to the board. It depends a little bit on what you're planning to do. If you've got a drama that's going to take the space of this room, then your team can sort of line up around on the edge of where the room is there. But if you're not planning a drama, I suggest you come. Sorry? Yes, if you've got a breakdance happening, you might need a bit of this space. But otherwise, don't stand way, way back, because that's where the crowd will stand, next to you. Come within about 3 metres of the board. Stand here, watching. Wow, this looks good. Ooh, this is terrific. Wow. So you're going to make a little group fairly close to the board. And that way, people will kind of come behind you and stand beside you. I haven't written it all down here, but often what I do when I'm travelling and there are other people doing most of the work is I come side onto the board and stand about here and make myself fairly wide. Because how many times do you see it when the crowd's back there a little bit and people just walk right through the middle of the meeting? Perhaps they didn't notice this, or perhaps they think, oh, Christians, I want to disturb them, and they just walk in the middle. I just don't know why people do it. Why can't they cut around behind? But if we've got a couple of people sort of standing at the sides, that makes a barrier, and they won't do it. But my point is, stand reasonably close. You don't all have to be like in a perfect circle, but stand reasonably close to the board. Now, I've got two E's on the outside. They are the exit type people. Two team members standing near the exits, the natural exits. If you're on that main street in the city there, even where we were today in Taupa, was that it? Something like that. Taugen? Yeah, Taupa was where I flew into, that's right. Yeah. It's a long, thin sort of place, so the natural exits are to go mainly that way. Stand about 5 metres away or even 10 metres away from the back of the meeting, and you've got some tracks in your pocket or in your hand, and people who leave the meeting, particularly if they've stood there for a minute or two, as they leave the meeting, you can offer them something to read and even a secret learnt from Peter Kennelly, whom you guys know from France these days. He walks in step with people. As he offers them stuff, he walks with them and in other words, doesn't just offer it and they go. He walks with them for 10 or 15 metres and sometimes they take it just to get rid of him. But he's, if you know Peter, a really smiley guy and just does it in a friendly way. But those people are offering tracts to those who leave the meeting. Don't offer tracts to those who are approaching the meeting. Now, in many countries, there's a difference between a tract, which might be just a little piece of paper, really, with the gospel on it, and a booklet, which might be a little bit thicker. For example, you've got New Testaments in all these different languages. You don't offer New Testaments to everybody, because that would mean OSC Norway has suddenly got no money. But a little more cheap tract is what you offer, but the booklet you want to talk to someone about. You won't give them a Bible unless they are quite interested. So those people offer things to people leaving the meeting, not to those approaching the meeting, because you don't want to give them a bad impression before they even get to the meeting. Now, let's have a look at a few things on the back here. Turn to the do's and don'ts. I've got more do's than don'ts because I'm trying to be positive. Do, be on time. If we're planning to leave here at 2 o'clock, be out there at 5 minutes to two. Don't be the last person. Be ready. Be on time. If you're meeting the team down in the city somewhere, be on time. Pretty obvious. Take care with your appearance. Now, many of these things are very obvious. Try to have a clean shirt on, at least that day. But some of you are saying, I changed my shirt last month. Why should I bother this month? You know, your underarm deodorant is hopefully working. Have you cleaned your teeth occasionally? I did that once a month, you know, whether I need to or not. Because I don't know if you've ever spoken to someone with very bad breath, but you're kind of leaning or even stepping away, even as they talk to you. Don't put people off by your appearance. Okay, I've said do help carry and set up the equipment, particularly if you're asked to help. But, you know, if there's many things to carry, don't expect the staff to carry everything. Get involved. Help out. Turn your cell phone to silent. Now, I wonder in this room right now what condition your cell phone's in. I hope you've got it on silent even now. I used to write on these things, turn your cell phone off, and then realise that will never happen. For young people in particular, this is life, and I just couldn't turn it off. But the reason I'd say turn it off and not just turn it silent is because if it's in your pocket and it begins to vibrate, are you going to say to this guy whom you're sharing your faith with and he's about to come to the Lord, oh, excuse me a minute, mate, I've got a phone call to take. Yeah. If it's a message, it'll be there when you're finished. Don't worry about it. But at least turn it to silent, because we're hopefully doing God's business here, and your business on that phone can wait 5 minutes or 2 hours or whatever it needs to wait. Pray silently. Now, these rules I've got here are not necessarily the Ten Commandments, and things are different in different countries. If it was me, I don't normally encourage the group to pray together in the open air when we get to the spot. We pray in here before we go to the spot. And when we do go to the spot, when we're praying, I'm usually busily looking around. You know, we're just a group of people standing around talking here, but one of us is talking to God while I'm busily, you know, I'll look at the person who's praying. Oh, yeah, yes, yeah, good thought. Yeah, it's great. Because I don't want to look like a little bunch of Christians. We're about to start, we hope, interesting evangelism. And here's some dude seeing us in a little huddle. I reckon that gives maybe a wrong impression. But you don't have to agree with me on all these things. Yes, sir. If it were just me leading the team, I would pray in here. And then as we walk, we're all praying in our heads. Sure. And when we get there, we're setting up and you're praying in your head. And you're praying throughout the meeting. Just don't look like you're a Christian praying, is what I'd say. However, if you do want to have a quick little prayer, one person perhaps lead in prayer, yeah, great, by all means. But my suggestion would be, don't make it look like you're praying. Just look like you're standing around while one of you is talking to God. But, you know, I'm not... I don't want to rock the boat too much. These are just general rules that apply... Not rules, general ideas that apply in most places. Let's keep going here quickly now. So pray silently, don't be noticed. Group prayer happens in here before we go out. Be alert for potential trouble. Even if the meeting is going on, please don't wait till the drunk gets all the way to the paint before one of you intercepts the guy, you know, because once he gets out there and get, or the baby, you know, the toddler, oh, this is nice, you know, oh, paint. Please don't let the preacher have to deal with that. The rest of the team deals with that. If the police are coming, hopefully the team leader, if he's not, he or she really involved right at the minute, will be alert and intercept. But don't wait for the policeman to come and interrupt the meeting. One of you approach. Dogs, there's all sorts of things that can interrupt open air meetings. Got a lot of pictures from Africa with dogs in the front row of the meeting. It's just great. Okay, have your tracts and perhaps a small Bible, no big Bibles, a pen and paper, and I've said hidden in your pocket. I haven't got them now, I've taken them out, but I have tracts usually in my back pocket there, so when I'm preaching I know exactly where they are to get them and hold them up. In Austria, he always has his stuff in, you know, a big sort of box exactly underneath the sketchboard. So as soon as he's ready, he just picks it up from there. Whatever you do, it doesn't matter much. But as a team member, before the program, get some tracks. Don't stand there with all your tracks in your hand, you know, looking like an eager little bunny, you know, where you've got your great big fat Bible, you know, and you're ready to go. Because as people come to the meeting and they see you like that, you know. So I suggest you have these things ready. And why do you need pen and paper? You said this very thing earlier, didn't you? All right, you don't need pen and paper because you put it on your phone. Okay, there you go.
I've actually just checked it out. I've called Tom Berger and I've called Kim.
Very good. Yeah, look, I'm sorry, I'm still Old Testament. I wrote pen and paper, but you can, of course, put things directly in here. Have faith. It may be that you speak to somebody who you may get the opportunity to talk to again. And particularly you ladies, but anyway, if you do arrange to meet somebody again, meet them in the centre of the city in a big coffee shop. Don't meet them in some dark alley at midnight. Okay. Act like a crowd. Look interested. Stand close. Watch the board. Don't talk to each other. How annoying it is when team members chat, because I've seen this one. You know, act like you're interested in the message, even if you're not. Be alert, pray, talk to someone to talk to afterwards. You heard Hartwig talk earlier about the Michael Jackson sort of sideways movement. I've never done that in my life, but what I sometimes do is the sort of you're watching and, oh, not so much a yawn, but it's just a step that way and a little bit of a lean as you're watching this meeting and, And by the time the meeting's finished, you've moved 10 minutes.
You look in the window behind. If there's a shop window, you look to see
where people are.
If you're in the front, you feel a bit isolated and you don't want to turn around.
If possible, it's good for a woman to speak to a woman. If possible, speak to someone about your same age. All these things are not always able to happen, but try to do that. Do quickly turn to somebody after the message. Now, in Norway, how much time have you got from the end of the message until someone walks away? How many seconds would it be? One?
Two.
Seconds? Yeah, not long, is it? So you've got to be ready to turn and say, "Hi, I'm Rob, I'm with that guy. Yeah, you know, what did you think of what he said? Or you thought about this before, or whatever your favourite question might be. What did you think about that? Be friendly. Someone said, this is good in English, to win some, you must be winsome. The word winsome means friendly and so on. To win some, you must be winsome. Works good in English. To share good news, be good news. Use ordinary language, of course. Don't use Christian jargon because people don't know words like sanctifications and propitiation. You know, Christ was our propitiation. Did you know that? The price that was paid. Ask open questions. Don't ask questions that they'll just give you yes, no answers. Challenge people's beliefs. If another meeting happens and you're near the board, just go a little to the side, not too far away, 5 or 10 metres, and talk quietly while the other meeting begins. And I've got here details. Name, address, or name, email, phone, or something like that, for interested people, of interested people. Some don'ts there. Don't hand out tracts during the meeting. I guess you guys know this, or perhaps you don't. We've sometimes worked with churches where we train some people, but then on the day of the meeting, it's been advertised in the whole church, and lots of eager church members turn up who haven't had the training, and here you are, preaching, and there's a crowd like you, or three times you're this close, all listening great, and the beautiful, lovely, little old zealous lady comes along to everybody in the front row and gives them a tract like this while I'm busy here trying to preach. Don't give tracts out during the program. You've got the two people on the outside, and if they leave, that's where the tracts can be given. Don't leave the meeting yourself. People may leave with you. I've said don't wear sunglasses while you're counselling. It may depend a bit on the conditions, and particularly while preaching as well. People like to see your eyes, so you ought to be looking at people, so try not to be wearing sunglasses. I've mentioned already, don't give personal details away. Use the church name or OAC's contact details. Don't join other conversations unless asked. You know, sometimes there's several conversations happening, and that's great, But as two or three conversations finish, and you know, these two are still having a discussion here, all the rest of us Christians, we want to get involved in this, and next thing you know, some poor little unsaved person's got half a dozen Christians surrounding them, and you feel a bit like, ah! So you leave the two who are talking, unless you are asked. Now, sometimes you're asked quite obviously, you know, Hartwig, I can't speak the language. Otherwise,
so, today,
yeah, good. Otherwise, it might just be you keeping alert. And if a young lady on our team is talking to a guy and she begins to look a little bit like she needs help, you know, because she's looking, where are you? Help! You can kind of read the body language and go and help out. But don't join conversations usually unless asked. And of course, don't leave the team without telling the team leader where you are. You want to nip off to the toilet or to get a cup of coffee or something, it might be okay. But you need to tell the team leader so the team leader knows what's happening. Okay, questions about anything I've said or about this? Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. So I told them it's not allowed.
Mm-hmm.
So you, unless you have asked the leader,
yeah,
to do so. So he was very angry. He said, "Who are you?
Yeah,
to say to me such things." So he was very offended by that. But how can we react to this?
Yeah, I'll get Hartwig to tell you the true answer in a moment. Whatever you do here in Norway, my general. I have heard of this happening before. It doesn't typically happen to me very often, but I have heard of it before. And I'd be saying to someone, if you want to have a meeting, you run your own meeting. This is our meeting. And we have, in Australia, there are laws about volunteers. People can't join our teams unless they've done a whole series of trainings and different things, because if you, in talking one-to-one to somebody, if they misunderstand what you say and somehow think that, you know, death, sin, get it all mixed up, I'm going to go and kill myself, and they think that, you know, and off they, and they blame you because of something you might have said, we have insurance in Australia that covers that. It's very unlikely, of course. But that sketchboard falling over and hitting people and all those things, there's public liability insurance. So there are legal reasons why people can't just turn up, just be there, unless they're accepted as a part of our team. So certainly I'd be getting Hartwig involved. And what do you do if they refuse to move? I don't know. You don't really want to call the police, but surely you hope that other Christian people are Christian enough to realise that if you're not one of us, you're not a part of our team. That doesn't mean you're not. I mean, we have people from different churches and different denominations involved, but this is an OAC meeting, and if you're just a zealous Christian, that's wonderful. You can stand and listen, but you can't be a part of the team unless you're part of the team. How do you answer that one?
How do we do it? We, if new people want to join us, we want to know a little bit about who they are. Do they belong to a church? And if we think this is good people, they can fit into the group, then we say, yes, you can join us. And then one of the next weeks, we will have maybe half an hour, a meeting with the person where we go through the rules. We have to have a piece of paper we give to them. And a few times we have had a situation where we had to ask a person to stop in the group because the person didn't fit into the team. Yes, so this is how we used to do it.
Yeah, I think I'd be saying to the person, this is a big long street. There's people everywhere. We're here. Why don't you go up there? But I know some people, because we've got the crowd, they want to sort of get involved somehow. But Yeah, we need to know people because how do we know what they're likely to say? And again, you think of spiritually and all the rest of that. Are they going to hammer, you know, now that you're interested, let me pray for you because the gift of tongues is the most important thing and you've got to have it right now. Are they going to do that right there on the street? You may or may not think that's a good idea. But there's a whole range of different things of that nature where Christians don't always agree.
A few times the newspaper has also turned up Dar again, and I think it was Bortland for some years ago, and they just go around, ask the team members about different things. Next day it's in the news, so that's why you also need to be in control of what is going on here in the team.
Yeah.
Otherwise, yeah.
My normal advice would be if the newspaper turns up, is I'd be saying, you need to talk to Hartwig. That's what I'd be saying. Talk to the team leader. Because again, you know what newspapers are like. You're interviewed for 30 minutes and they put 3 seconds on the news and it sounds like you're an idiot because the bit they took is out of context. And OAC says, and it was just a team member who knows very little. So if it's an interview or anything like that, you've just got to say, go and talk to Hartwig because he represents the organisation, not me. Time up, eh? If you've got other questions, looks like you've got to ask me later. Because we've got the signal from the back. Have I got time to pray? It'll be a short one. Father, we thank you for bringing all these folk here. There's an obvious desire to learn and to want to share our faith. And we don't want to get hung up on all the little rules and things that, you know, we're so worried about doing it right that we end up doing it wrong. We just want to share our faith, but we know there are ways that help and ways that sometimes don't help. So help us to learn from one another. We're in this together, and we thank you for the things we're learning and experiencing in these days. In Jesus' name, amen.